Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Hi, I'm Bob Lazar. During late 1988 and early 89, I worked on the propulsion systems of extraterrestrial vehicles for the United States government. The hardware and technology I was exposed to should be placed in the proper hands of the scientific community, and it is the right of every person on Earth to know that there is physical evidence which proves that there is life elsewhere and that at least one form of that life has been here.
In 1989, a man named Robert Scott Lazar was interviewed by a Las Vegas television station and claimed that he had worked for the U.S. government back engineering alien technology. That single act unleashed a firestorm that is still smoldering to this day. Bob Lazar, UFOs, and the existence of aliens next on Hysteria 51.
Life is a mystery. Confusion is all around us. The truth is out there, but you won't find it here. Welcome to Hysteria 51. Come inside our secret hideaway as we talk conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. All viewed through skeptical eyes and the blurry lens of a beer bottle. Now, here are your hosts, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar. Bob Lazar.
Every time I look around, every time I look around, every time I look around,
I want to
it's in my
earth.
Head.
Just can't get enough of that song.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation. We are back and better than ever in a
Bob Lazar 2 Electric Boogaloo
version of Hysteria 51. You just heard from my co-pilot on this journey. That's Brent Hand.
What is up, everyone?
My name is John Goforth, and we are joined once again by our favorite millennial, Matt the Millennial.
What's going on?
Dynamic drop-in, Matt. The fourth member of our tribe is with us once again. The robot, the myth, the legend, Conspiracy Bot.
Ah, the humans I love to hate and hate to love. What is up, you goofy bastards?
And we love you, buddy. Love you so much.
That Brent, did you give him a new program or something? He's not normally that nice. I'm worried.
I turned his snark down 17%.
Right.
Seemed like a nice round number.
That number is anything but round.
But round.
awesome. Cool. All right. So we are back into Bob Lazar. Folks, we already told you in episode 7 everything that Bob contends happened. Here in episode 8,
every
we are going
fucking
to...
fucking stitch of it is true. Thanks. See you next time on Hysteria 51.
But wait! There's more!
Wrong!
Here on episode 8, we are going to take a little bit of a deeper dive and say, wait a second. Do we believe that? And if so, why do we or why don't we?
Yeah, let's pick it apart a little bit.
Or why don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Or why don't we? Meaning, I don't.
Gotcha.
Wait. I think I just ruined the end of the show. All right. Before we dive in, let's talk what we're drinking. All All right, let's start up with our millennial friend, Matt. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking an Irish trash can.
Man, I did that once in the 80s. Oh, wait, you mean an actual cocktail. What is in that?
Well, it's Blue Carousel, gin, rum, vodka, a whiskey, and Red Bull.
It is fucking green. And it's disgusting fucking green. Smell.
It must be strong because as you described it, you lost your accent.
Well, you're not wrong.
All I know, it's fucking gross. I'm not even going to taste it. It's that gross. She likes it.
It's hip.
Who knew?
That was the best reaction that drink got.
Fuck, man. Anytime you're coming over to drink and you have to have like 9 bottles of liquor to make one drink, like that's just not, I know I got a bar, but it's just not very fucking
Hey, I'm
going to
make my own drink. I have 3 Juul shopping bags.
Do you have a furniture dolly by any chance? I'm coming back from the store.
Because I've got an alcohol problem and a dream.
You call it an alcohol problem. He just calls it a bucket list.
Yeah, there you go.
That he drinks out of a bucket.
Hey, it's a trash can. It is. Come on.
Come on now.
And Brent, what are you drinking?
Well, you probably want to be make sure you're sitting down at home. I cracked open a Bud Light.
Holy shit. You
know, big surprise.
You topped me off. My Irish trash can's already half gone.
Your Irish trash can looks like green piss water. Like, I don't know.
It's like the Green Lantern.
It actually turns my stomach to look at it a little bit. And that's just him, not his drink.
Like, Brent, didn't you have a girlfriend in high school that we called Irish trash can?
I'm not surprised.
Oh, that was college. Thanks.
My bad. All right. So, Bobby Lazar.
Oh, Bobby boy.
If you want a quick recap on Bob Lazar, on who he is, what he did.
What I do is physics. I do them good, and they pay me and shit from the U.S. government, and then I made a rocket car out of my Honda. I was like holding my ears up as I was doing that.
I don't know, but it was funny.
What the fuck?
If you want a recap of who he is and what he did, either go to Wikipedia, or better yet, I have a better idea. Listen to our last episode, episode 7, where we introduce you to the story. Here in this episode, we are going to tear it apart.
And I'm going to stick up for it.
Let's dive in, Brent.
All right. Right off the bat, anytime you're going to come out of the woodwork and say, I worked on fucking alien spacecraft, everyone's going to not believe you. You could show up in the damn spacecraft and people are still probably not going to believe you. But old Bobby boy didn't show up in the spacecraft. He just made outlandish claims, which were immediately picked apart. The first thing that we were talking about is his education in the last episode. He said that he had degrees from Caltech and MIT. And as soon as he came forward, people were like, wait a minute. I don't remember you at Caltech. I don't remember you at MIT. You have no papers at either. You're not in the yearbooks at either. You can't provide any paperwork that you were actually there.
And
Phantom.
And the one school that he can provide paperwork for or that can support the fact that he enrolled there is Pierce Junior College in California. The only problem with that is he also says he was there at the same time that he was at MIT in Massachusetts.
Well, if you remember, he had a fucking rocket-powered Honda. He probably traversed the country randomly at will, at ease.
It might have even flown because it would fucking have to do both of those things at the same fucking time.
So people are looking into his past and they are like, we cannot find anything that proves that you were in school at these places. And he was asked publicly when he got his Master of Science from MIT, and he said, well, you know, let me see now. I think it was probably 1982. Nobody getting a master's in science from MIT would not know the fucking year they got their fucking degree.
Dude, I can tell you when I got the President's Physical Fitness Award.
I have those patches,
too. It was in 1988, all right? Much less a fucking degree from MIT.
Another thing he said, they asked, who are some of your professors? And he said, well, let's see now. Bill Duxler will remember me from the physics department at Caltech. They located Dr. Duxler. He's a Pierce Junior College physics professor and never taught at Caltech.
Well, is it perhaps that he taught at both at the same time? I mean, hell,
They commuted together in his rocket car.
Yeah, if our protagonist was able to travel cross country, I mean, this guy can easily get up the Western seaboard.
Exactly. Done both those schools at the same time, and you can't produce anything showing you that. Going back even further, people checked into his high school. He graduated in August, not with his class. The only science course he took was chemistry. He ranked 261 out of 369 students, which put him in the bottom third of all people in his class.
Which is normally what an MIT
exactly
accepted student or prospective student ranks.
MIT's where you go, you know, as a safe school if you can't get into, you know, state where you want to go.
Well, I'll tell you this. I applied at MIT. I applied at Harvard. I applied at Yale. Those were all my safe schools. But when I got into SIU Carbondale, I'm like, you know what? Fuck the rest of them. That's where I'm going.
Good old Southern Illinois.
I'm a Saluki.
Now there's a pedigree that'll follow you for the rest of your life.
That's why we're doing podcasts right now.
Matt the Millennial, where'd you go to college at?
Namco.
I didn't go to college. I was too busy smoking American spirits and drinking PBR under a bridge.
Hey, what were your loans?
None. I worked.
I had
a job.
My professor made me eat a lot of pills, though, and he kept chomping at me over and over and over. All right, let me ask you this. Did you watch the movie Pixels?
No.
Your boss was in it, and he was not a nice...
I heard it was fucking horrible.
Yellow blob?
Oh, it was bad.
It was bad?
What would you refer to Pac-Man as? A round...
A piece of shit? I don't know.
You're talking about your boss right now.
Yeah, they don't pay me. I'm an American sweatshop worker.
They pay you. They just don't pay you as much as you want.
I imagine you do get a paycheck, right?
In the ass.
You take... That's how you prefer to be paid? So here's the thing with this whole education conundrum. They say, Bob, we cannot find transcripts. We can't find anything on you that you went to MIT, that you went to Caltech. What the fuck, Bob? And he goes, symbol. They erased me. They just removed me from the system. And you go, well, makes sense.
Pretty fucking convenient.
Yeah, of course they did. Because it's easy, I'm sure, to convince everyone that ever knew you to say that they didn't know you and to erase everything you've done, period.
So let me get this straight, Bob. Every piece of evidence pointing to you having a degree at any one of these places, actually having been in attendance at any one of these places, was somehow erased and gotten rid of before all of these records were even online? Yep, that's what I'm saying.
Anything that could possibly lend him credibility, save for the lie detector test, his education, his work history, everything completely unsubstantiated. No way to prove it. If the government really wiped his past clean of all involvements, then, like, why did they do a half-assed job? Like, you can still find out that he was, you know, at this junior college, you know, and you can still see that he was, you know, shitty in high school, unless they were doing that to undercut him and make him look less valuable.
If I'm going to play devil's advocate here, the one thing you could say is they were cleaning things up before the internet existed. And it's really hard to, I suppose, clean up every little mess, every little trace of someone being in a certain school or doing these certain things. So I can understand how there'd be vestiges of traces of him. The problem that I have is the story that he actually told logistically doesn't make a ton of sense.
Right. One of the other things that is a big proponent or opponent, or depending on what side of the story you're on, is his W-2, his pay stub. They did come forward with a pay stub saying that he was paid from the Department of Naval Intelligence, but it totals under $1,000.
He provided one pay stub.
Mm-hmm.
It did say from the Department of Naval Intelligence, which, according to official federal records, doesn't exist.
Doesn't fucking exist. Exactly. Yeah.
Listening to other people that talk about
covert anything,
top secret things.
That's like,
it's possible
that they talk about the Department of Naval Intelligence is who runs Star Wars and Men in Black and run our space fleets for our outer space program. Dynamic drop in there, Johnny. Do it again. That's the Navy right there.
So the point is, it's possible that, or not possible, other people think that there might be an organization called that.
I mean, I got to step in here right now. What the fuck is Navy intelligence doing in the desert?
I understand what you're saying there. Like, why wouldn't it be the Air Force, which is who runs Area 51? But they're saying that naval intelligence is like above all of it. They're like the, they run all the covert things because the Navy's the oldest.
I almost got the impression that naval intelligence was just a name for, super dark,
well, that's majestic.
Not that dark, just super dark, shadow.
Any shadow, black ops, black, not Luminati. Black ops, but, so they were the guys.
Super dark black ops, mm-hmm. Form of,
cults. I'm just saying things now.
Beaver, wall, sidewalk, chalkboard.
I love lamb.
And a lot of people have came forward and said, that's the smoking gun. That proves it. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. And then other people are like, this is fake. This is obviously a fake W-2. And, you know, this just plays into more of the Bob Lazar hoopla. So the other thing, too, is in this time when he comes forward and he says, okay, late 88, they come and talk to me. I already had Q clearance, which is high as you can be as a civilian. I immediately am granted majestic clearance. And if you go online, you'll see this badge that has MAJ and it's got his name and his picture on it.
Which is just a representation.
Yeah, he made that. And he'll tell you, he's like, well, I just made that. That's what it looked like. That's not real. It takes a long time for you to get security clearance. And if you're majestic, which they are saying is like between 21 and 28, levels above the fucking president.
This is a span over 25 years, though, isn't it?
No, this is a span. No, this is a span of over like days. No, wait, no, wait. The whole story is 25 years, but they're just saying like from when he was offered the job.
Can I touch on that for a second? Mm-hmm. So he has majestic clearance, which, according to sources, quote unquote, is 21 to 28 levels above the president.
Correct.
Yet, when he's signing all of his paperwork at Area 51 saying that he mm-hmm. can be prosecuted because he is getting this kind of clearance, it is signed by none. The fact that he can sign his rights away, that executive order is signed by none other than Ronnie Reagan. Well, I think we'll go ahead and let you sign your rights away. All right.
Right. So it takes someone with way lower clearance than you to allow you to have way higher clearance than them.
It's like the private saying, you know what, Admiral? We're going to go ahead and let you do that. You keep it real.
I had a buddy who worked on computers in the military, though, and it was funny. He said that he had higher clearance than the guy who ran the base he was at, which was like a full bird colonel. And so when they would have to work on like the main, like, computer systems, he would have to have someone, they would fly someone in or bring someone in with higher clearance than him to watch him because the colonel couldn't know like the shit he, you know, not that he knew anything. He was just okay to like put in a new stick of RAM in a fucking computer, you know.
And I get that. I get the government loves to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. That's the government's thing, to keep information away from other pieces of the government.
Divvy it up.
I just have a hard time believing that here's the president. Oh, and 28 stages later, see what I did there? Is where old Bobby Lazar.
Well, it also, like, what I was originally getting at is the time. There is no way, no how. Two things I want to touch on. There's no way you're going to get from I get this job to I have majestic. Let's pretend for all intents and purposes that that's true. It exists. It's as high as he's saying, 100%. You are all those 20 some levels above the president. And we're going to go ahead and approve you for that in just a few days. Like, of course, on top of that,
I applied for my TSA pre 90 days ago and I still don't have my fucking known traveler number.
And that's government and that's best, baby. That's the way it works.
So Bobby Lazar gets the keys to the kingdom in what, a week and a half?
Yeah. Then on top of that, there's no fucking way if Majestic Level exists, they're going to give some dude who'd been arrested for pandering running the computer systems at a fucking brothel or running a brothel. I mean, depending on where you look it up, it talks about this. This guy had a sordid past, and they're like, hey, put down that hooker. Come look at this alien. Okay, come here. You know, I like this cat. The more I read about him.
Oh, now he seems legit. Right? Before he didn't, but now he seems legit.
I've seen aliens. I've seen spacecraft.
I've seen London and I've seen France.
I've seen hookers.
Like, underpants.
It just makes sense. So, so suspension of disbelief here. They pass his background check. He gets majestic clearance in a matter of days instead of months and weeks and years. It usually takes just for them to fucking, you know, file paperwork. Let's just say that all of that is true. Okay. He is okayed for this job. They take him on out there. He's going to be working on it. We haven't even got to the meat of most of the bullshit, which is the fucking or quote unquote bullshit. We don't know.
Wait, the one other thing that we haven't touched on yet is how he got the job. So supposedly he met
Dr. Teller.
Dr. Teller. Dr. Teller was impressed by his Honda.
His Honda CRX, which, I mean,
who wouldn't be?
Never underestimate the staggering appeal of a modern day Honda motor car.
When he decided that he wanted to get out of film processing and get back into the world of physics, he simply sent a letter to the creator of the hydrogen bomb and said, hey, I want to get back into physics. What do you think? Hey,
Telly, it's me, Bobby. Wanted to see if maybe you could get me a job with them aliens.
Hugs and kisses.
Yeah, say hi to the kids. Later.
And not only that, did he then hear back from old Telly, and Telly said, you know what, I think we might be able to help you out. Another interesting part of his story, Lazar actually did his own documentary a few years after he did the interview. In his documentary, which he begins by driving up in a old Corvette, yeah, just to show you how cool he is, he says...
Now, what did that Corvette sound like?
Not a Honda jet-powered CRX.
You know, that's just,
I'll take it.
How can you go from a jet powered Honda to a piece of shit Corvette?
So in the documentary, he says, I don't think Teller remembered me, but I still got a call back from the job. But then in an Art Bell interview years later, he said, it turned out Teller remembered me well and called me for the job. I understand people's memory can change, but that's a pretty big deal. If the father of the hydrogen bomb acknowledges that he remembers who you are from reading about you in the
monitor,
from reading about you in the Los Alamos monitor, or if he doesn't.
Well, you know what? Why don't we just settle this? Let's call up Teller and ask him. Oh, wait, he's dead. He can't substantiate this.
And in every interview that you can find, he said he won't talk about Bob Lazar.
Yeah. You know, so what are you going to do?
Anyway, very interesting. So old Bobby Lazar might or might not have any degrees, might or might not be a physicist, and might or might not gotten a job that he shouldn't have gotten. Next, let's talk about the physics behind all of the discoveries that he made after the break.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And
I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now, right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
I'm Meredith Masony.
And I'm Tiffany Jenkins. We're the hosts of Take It or Leave It, a podcast where we discuss all things marriage, motherhood, and everything in between. Join us every week where we sit down and talk about parenting, even though we don't really know what we're talking about. We have guests, we take your calls, and we get weird.
Tiffany and I are just like you. We are two struggling moms who have no idea what we're doing. Join us on Take It or Leave It, an advice-ish podcast for parents.
Acast recommends.
And welcome back to the last chapter of this drama that is Bob Lazar.
Old Bobby's coming to an end. It's been fun.
Brent, let's talk about periodic table.
Ooh, what's your favorite element? Mine's surprise. Ooh, you little rascal.
And I'm leaving.
So one of the things that Bob Lazar purports is that these UFOs were powered by element 115. And he said this in 1989.
Yep.
In 1989, the biggest or the largest atomic number on the periodic table we had was 109, I believe.
I believe so, yeah.
So in 2003, when some Russians collided a few atoms together and came up with element 115, the internet went fucking berserk. Oh my God, Bob Lazar is correct.
They had the internet back then?
They did.
In 2003, fucker. Like, never I forget mind. That in 2003, never you were mind. Like 4 years old.
I was 10.
He was playing Yu-Gi-Oh.
Yeah.
Leave him alone.
Pokemon was still around.
So, obviously, Bob Lazar was telling the truth. here's my point. The reason I wanted to bring this up, well, there's a few different reasons, but saying that element 115 is what it's powered on, not exactly a stretch. When you already have element 109 and you know the rate in which we're kind of discovering elements and you just understand basic chemistry, it's not a far stretch to say that you know, sooner than later, we're probably going to have element 115, which right. is called...
Unumpentium.
Unumpentium.
That's a mouthful.
Conspiracy bot, you so want to give that one a shot?
That would be ununpentium, you lazy bastards.
So he comes up with the idea that we're going to have this element 115 that we can power everything with. And then in 2003, it gets created. The only problem is what we create has a half-life of like 20 nanoseconds or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's gone in the blink of an eye.
In other words, you can't use it as a power source.
Well, at least not in that state. And he said the other thing is that we had 500 pounds of element 115, and they had to bombard it with protons for it to... react in the way that it did.
Oh, I'll get to that.
So,
well, first, let's get to his quote.
Go ahead.
He said, "Unumpentium can't be generated in a lab. It must be found in naturally occurring deposits in large star solar systems." So I did a little research on that.
Okay.
It turns out that stars produce nothing heavier than iron.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Because elements heavier than iron take more energy than they give in a fusion process, anything heavier than that is only produced in a supernova explosion and or particle accelerators, like when you got an impending.
Fermilab?
Yeah, like in the Fermilab. Dynamic drop-in, Matt the Millennial. Yes! He was worth every penny.
That's right.
Much like them. Conspiracy
That's
Bot.
Two
yeah.
pennies.
The other thing that I found really interesting is they said Bob Lazar said that unimpentium can't be generated in a lab, right? And that it must be found naturally occurring in deposits in large star solar systems. And yet the Bob Lazar supporters took the fact that we created unimpentium in a lab to be proof that Bob Lazar was telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the exact opposite?
So he actually referenced that in a recent interview, and paraphrasing, he was just like, what he was saying is like, there's more than one type of hydrogen. There's more than one type of uranium. Only certain types of uranium can be enriched. He was saying there, one day you'll find that there's different types of element 115 that's stable, beyond the, you know, 20 nanoseconds or whatever it is. And we're just not there yet.
Well,
I'm still
things.
Right. Blah, 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 blah.
Two things. Number one, I'm not a physicist. So, you know, maybe. And two, it's really easy to say, yeah, you just don't get it. It's like what that girl in middle school said. Well, no, my parents are rich. You just don't understand.
That's just my go-to every forum. Like, you just don't get it. Right. You're just stupid. You misspelled a word, so everything you've ever said in your life is invalid.
One other inaccuracy in regard to unimpentium.
Only one other? Only one?
That I'll point out right now. He said the melting point was 2000 Kelvin. It turns out it's about 670 Kelvin.
Oh, wow.
I understand melting point isn't the biggest of the big. However, you need to understand the melting point to go ahead and activate it as a fuel. And that is more than – he said it was almost triple what it actually is.
But maybe it's that different kind of unimpentium that he was talking about.
That's true. That's true. You just don't understand.
I just don't understand.
So let's pretend that this specific unimpentium 115 is exactly what he's talking about, the 2000 Kelvin's melting point. What about the rest of the propulsion system,
the antimatter drive,
exactly.
And the gravitational waves?
So the antimatter drive is another interesting thing. He's basically saying that the energy is going to be created out of the antimatter drive through a bunch of processes that aren't worth going into here, and I'm frankly not smart enough to go into. But I do understand the basic laws of physics, and there's a simple conservation of like mass and energy, and that tells us that that propulsion system wouldn't put out that energy. So the basic theoretical way that these things work is that if you give a proton, you get an antiproton. That's what they're saying with the antimatter.
See a proton, pick it up all day long, you'll have good luck. That's the way it goes.
Somebody What's that from?
Nation, we want pictures of your dogs. That's just a personal request from me, but while you look for a good one, let me tell you about something near and dear to mine, Brent's hearts. Your dog's health. You may have noticed lots of dogs suffering from health issues these days. Joints, odors, it's not good. Actress Katherine Heigl noticed these issues too, and after a ton of research, there was one place she found we can look to support any dog's health. Their food. So she created Superfood Complete, food for your four-legged friend that's made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Her company, Badlands Ranch, also supports the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Now, I know Brent has used Superfood Complete with his lovable meatballs, and they absolutely love it. He said it's easy to prepare, both his guys grow crazy for it, and he loves knowing what he's giving them is healthy and full of ingredients that are actually beneficial to his little rapscallions. You can try it for yourself by going to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/hysteria today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Somebody, my mom always told me.
Oh, okay.
Somebody throws a proton at you. What do you do?
Swat it to the ground.
Swat it to the ground.
Swat it to the ground. Pretend it's a baby.
Basically,
demented.
So, in other words, you get the anti version of everything you put in. Nothing more, nothing less. That's what I'm saying about the basic laws of simple conservation of energy. You don't get extra out of what you put in. You get energy exactly equal to the mass energy of the particles that went into making it. Nothing more.
So what you're saying is for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
But nothing more than that. So how are we creating energy? In other words, to get antimatter, that you then collide with the matter to get the energy we've been talking about.
This episode is brought to you by Nourish by Nature Made, the number one pharmacist-recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Nourish is a personalized vitamin regimen customized to you. Backed by 45 years of science, they remove the guesswork from your vitamin regimen. With thousands of happy customers, Nourish is a trusted supplement brand by many. Visit Nourish.com to create your customized package today.
Let's be real. Dealing with tangled cords can make it harder to do your hair. Break free with the new Unbound Cordless Auto Curler from Conair. Get the curls and waves you want, anytime, anywhere. It's designed to let you experience the power and freedom of beauty in motion. No cords to hold you back. You get your curls and waves your way. Unplug and be unbound. Loose curls, tight curls, beachy waves. The Unbound Cordless Auto Curler makes it easy to get the looks you love. Love your look. Live unbound. Available at Conair.com and search Unbound.
You have to expend the same amount of energy to create the antimatter. And that's even assuming a 100% conversion, which you almost never get. There's always loss of energy. There's certainly not a gain of it that you would theoretically then generate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I mean, then like how does half something the size of half of a basketball generates a gravitational
pull? That's just because you don't understand element 115.
Exactly.
Well, and on the gravitational pull, that's the other weird shit. He says that there's like A waves and B waves. Yep. And the B waves, and this is getting into to water much deeper than I'm.
Any layman's terms.
Yeah. Exactly.
Than a layman belongs in. But I do know one thing. He says that there's A waves and B waves. The B waves are, you know, kind of inside the nucleus. The A waves are kind of outside the nucleus. Now, okay. Get it. And he's using the A waves, for propulsion. That's the gravity that you can manipulate and use the energy to manipulate and make the ship go wherever you want.
Making it, it's focusing to create the event horizon or whatever he said it was that you.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that physics tells us that gravity outside the nucleus loses almost all of its pull. Those A waves are kind of worthless. Now, I understand that when you say physics tells us, your natural response is, well, 100 years ago, physics told us that we couldn't fly an airplane, and look at that now. Huh.
Oddly, yeah. That's my exact inner voice. That is really stunning.
Nailed it. And I get that. I do. I understand that there are always discoveries being made, but that's also an easy cop out. Like, well, you just don't understand.
That's just the easiest go to. Like, well, I could explain it to you, but it's much too hard for you to understand. And I'd explain it or I'd show you, but you just, no, it's not going to.
You wouldn't get it.
Exactly. Element 115, let's say, yeah, it works. It's absolutely, absolutely there. The physics. Absolutely. We just don't understand it. It's not breaking the laws of physics. It's just happening outside the laws of
that we understand thus far. And apologies to any and all physics professors and or physicists listening as to what I just butchered, but I think you get the point.
I don't know. Can we start over? I didn't tell it to me again, but slower and in a softer voice.
So antimatter. My little butterflies.
Don't look at me when you talk like that. It makes me. You can look at Matt. He seems lagging, but don't look at me.
Let's talk about antimatter.
You made me spill my PBR, baby. I spilled my PBR all over my lumberjack outfit that I'm wearing.
Oh, my God.
You keep saying flannel. I wear flannel. See, I told you I was a fucking millennial.
Oh, don't get your man bun in a twist.
That's a creeper joke. It's like creeper weed.
So all this is happening, and yep, makes sense. Everything he said is true. Why doesn't any motherfuckers ever remember him? No one from Los Alamos, no one from Caltech, no one from anywhere.
MIT.
Anytime this has ever been brought up, everyone said, don't remember him, until recently.
Bum, bum, bum.
Just within the last few years, a guy by the name of Dr. Robert Krangle actually came forward and said, Bob Lazar, yeah, I worked with him at Los Alamos. He was a physicist. And,
Conspiracy Bot, can you give us a little Dr. Krangle?
So if indeed, Bob is a nuclear physicist, some of the reflections of that would be the things that he's done, such as build a particle accelerator in his backyard.
Oh, Lordy, I love it.
Okay, so that is a symptom of being a nuclear physicist.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Don't stand in front of the E-beam.
Okay, so this was a very cool beginning just to meet somebody who knew Bob professionally from Los Alamos in the sense that you saw him there. You guys were in, don't tell anybody meetings. What do you call it? Security meetings?
Yeah, security briefings. Yeah. Okay.
So specifically, remember?
They lump you into these, it's little lecture halls or classroom kind of things, and you get your, it's your security pep talk.
So let me just ask you just real specifically. So you have a direct individual memory of being in a security briefing at Los Alamos with Bob Lazar?
Yeah. It was one of the, I'm not talking about a classroom of 10 or 12 people. I'm talking about, the auditorium size kind of thing. Everybody after lunch, go over to the auditorium. You're going to get your security briefing for the week. And yeah, that's, I remember seeing.
And why would he be there if he wasn't working in a capacity where that was important?
Yeah, I don't think they bring the janitor in to, yeah.
Okay, because I just want to kind of demystify that once and for all. The fact that you're there at a security briefing at Los Alamos and you're not even really into all this stuff, but you knew Bob, that's big. That's big for me.
Thanks, Conspiracy Bot. So we got a guy remembers him. So you got one guy coming forward and saying, I remember him. He was
look at the guy. He looks like a fucking physicist because he is a physicist. I remember him in meetings back in the day. I still
at Los Alamos. Los Alamos. I was in a large security briefing in an auditorium setting with him.
Yep. Like, absolutely. Don't know what he did, but he was a physicist. He doesn't know what I did, but I was a physicist.
And he certainly wasn't a janitor there.
Exactly, which has been the, you know, well, of course we know he worked there, but he was probably just a janitor. So you got one guy coming forward and saying, yeah, you also got another guy big in the UFO business. That's Stanton Friedman. I mean, this guy, I kind of think he hates Bob Lazar. Like, he goes out of his way to make sure to stomp on any mention of him whatsoever. He's poured a lot of time and money and resources into debunking pretty much everything that the Lazar has said.
First and foremost, can we address his name, Stanton? Can we just call him Stan?
No, because there's a ton on the end of it. Stanton. Stanton.
All right, so
he didn't go to Ton school for 4 years to be called Stan.
A good point.
Thank you very
much. And that's
much.
Actually a point that guy would probably make. Listen, if you can't tell by now, I'm not a huge believer in most of the Bob Lazar stuff. That said, Stanton Friedman strikes me as a parasite. I understand that in a lot of circles, he's seen as one of the modern day fathers of ufology. And I get that. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate the effort he's put forth and all of that. But it strikes me that he's kind of a troll before trolls existed, you know, like digital trolls. Like he, every time
terminology existed,
right?
Every time Lazar pops up, 5 minutes later, there's Friedman saying, "Oh, but here's the reason why Lazar is wrong."
But and then the opposite of that, like anytime anyone mentions like Barney and Betty Hill, Friedman's the first one to come up and be like, "No, you're fucking wrong. They're 100% right." You know, and I understand, but you know what? There's you can poke holes in anything. He's taken a side. He's sticking with it. I understand. And the guy's got traction. I mean, he's a name among names when you're talking about this stuff. If you've ever watched a outside of, you know, like Ancient Aliens, if you watched a show on aliens and UFOs, he's probably on it. Like he's that guy with the beard and the white hair and the glasses talking about aliens. I mean, he's always in stuff.
And that's actually a great point to make, in favor of Lazar. And what I mean by that is we haven't touched on the fact that while Lazar is a weird dude, the one thing you can't say is that he did this to profit. He's literally had multiple opportunities to make a lot of money off this thing, and he hasn't. Now, don't get me wrong, he made a documentary, and he's done a few other things. I'm sure he's made a few bucks off it.
He's tried to option in the movie, and it's been optioned and not made. Been for a while, actually, Matt Damon was going to play him.
That would have been awful. but the point is that
I don't know. I could have seen Matt Damon as Bobby Lazar.
Yeah, I don't think so, because you need to have a clear protagonist or a clear winner. You know, like some.
Well, I'm sure they would have taken it in a way.
A clear good guy, and he is not a clear good guy.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, but brothels are the oldest, you know, profession. Why isn't he a good guy?
Oh, what that's not the problem.
Sorry.
The one thing Lazar didn't do is profit off of it. I mean, he tried here and there.
Right.
But he has multiple times removed himself from the public eye. He has multiple times turned, like, there's a circuit. There's a UFO circuit. And if you're listening to this show, you might be, either a participant in it, or you might go enjoy, some of those festivals. What's the one called?
Well, the MUFON, you know, is the big group, you know, and they put on festivals.
You might go enjoy MUFON. There's a lot of different stuff that a guy with the name of Bob Lazar could go make money on, and he doesn't. So I'm not saying that legitimizes anything. I am saying that his number one goal in doing whatever he did, whether it have been true or false, was not perhaps money.
It looks more like self-preservation, because he didn't want to get fucking killed. If it's all true.
If it's true, yeah. I mean, that's the, you know, the big if it's true. And the other thing is, yeah, like, or maybe it was in the beginning money and he just sucked at it. He didn't do it right. But, the other thing that I gotta give to Bob Lazar, he brought Area 51 out of the shadows and into the mainstream consciousness. Like, it became a thing. Before that, I don't know that a lot of people outside of Las Vegas knew about the airplanes that flew the contractors in and out of. And you actually were talking to me earlier about the amount of people that fly out there versus like the size of the base is supposed to be.
Yeah. So in our modern day, we actually have a few photos of Area 51 and the amount of buildings that you
can
see.
The Russian satellite surveillance is actually really cool. That's something that was released and you can
see
most of the upper base. Yeah. Upper.
The amount of buildings that you see. This is at Area 51. We're not talking about S4. The amount of buildings you see versus the amount of flights that fly out to Area 51 every day out of McCarran. It's obvious that there's a disparate number of people going there versus could fit in those buildings. The point being that it is very likely there's a lot going on underground there, which would make sense. I mean, I don't think anyone is contending that it's not a military base and it's not a super secret military base. And you said it's a good thing. I don't know if it's a good thing. I mean, if let's just say for a second that Lazar is full of shit and we're just testing out awesome planes there. Do we really want everybody checking it out all day, every day? Really want people filming it, trying to get in all day, every day? I mean, yes, I understand, we want clarity from the military, but you don't want to know what, the coolest plane they're testing. That's not that kind of secrecy is what we need to, keep our advantage over our enemies.
There's a couple lines of thought process with that. I'll come back to that, about maybe why he did that. I just wanted to touch on so we've kind of given you the full circle. Now it's 25 plus years later and, they've recently done interviews with him. He sticks to the story. Like we've said, he's like, hey, it happened. I can't make you believe me. I just know it's the truth. And hey, good for him for sticking with it. If you're going to tell a story.
In fact, now he's saying, I don't want you to believe me.
Yeah, he actually says that. He's like, good, because you'll leave me alone. Like, people will leave me alone. And the thing that you said.
Doing interviews.
The thing that you said that is so true about all these guys is when you watch their interviews, you use the best word. They all have handlers. He's always got a fucking handler there and they're asking him questions. He's like, yeah, Bob, tell him Bob about that time. And Bob's like, there was this time. Remember what you told me that one time, Bob? And half the time it's John Lear, that we talked about before, like the Lear jet fame.
We're deep into episode two here and we haven't even touched on the fact that, he had all of these, like you said, handlers. George Knapp, who was the KLAS guy. So John Lear, Gene Huff, George Knapp. I mean, all of these guys, depending on which interview you're listening to, are right there.
And then you got to go also with Art Bell, George Norrie, the people that give them a lot of play.
Sure.
Keep the story going.
But the three that I was just talking about will be on the interview. And so when Lazar starts to lose it or can't remember something, they kind of prod him like, oh yeah, remember that time? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That thing.
Yeah.
That thing with the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden Lazar, oh yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant.
The big question is, could he be telling the truth? Could this be, 100% true? Everything he said is true. I guess it's time for us to go around and talk about what we feel. I do not believe what he said was true. I don't believe that he was working on what he said he worked on. He's very convincing. I, even in my mind, wonder if he was used to draw attention to Area 51. Maybe by the government, literally he was used as not a patsy. I got patsy in my head of JFK,
but the whole who takes a shot at somebody and misses.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, especially if you fucked over the government, like they're going to fucking erase you. Like, come on. I feel like if you wanted to have a secret base, let's say Area 51 wasn't going to be the one anymore and you needed to build a new one somewhere and you wanted to make sure no one knew where that new one was, you know what I'm going to do? Draw a whole fuckload of attention to the last old base and make sure everyone's talking about it. Now, I'm not saying that's what happened, but if the government did do that, that's fucking ingenious. And it makes sense that they would have used someone like him who has, and maybe they did erase him in ways on purpose with his help. Maybe this whole time they're like, you know what? We're going to take care of you and we're going to like some of these brothel charges in the future and stuff. We're not going to worry about that. And we got your back. You're going to be, you know, maybe he was a government contractor of some sort and they used him.
Starting to sound like a conspiracy theory, man.
That is. No, it absolutely is. Like, I just, like, that makes more sense to me than him coming forward with this information because I, in my mind, exactly what, like you said, I feel that if he would have came forward to this, they would have killed him. Like, if this was true, he would have been killed, is what I feel. I don't think there's any ifs, ands, or buts about that, and there's where it loses me. Above everything else, like you said, when they're like, oh, they shot at me, and oh, like, we're gonna get you, like, you don't know what we're gonna do, but then they don't do anything. And I guess one really good thing to do is to come forward and say, hey, look at me, like, but I don't think it would have went that far. You know what? George Knapp probably would have been killed too. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, if that was true.
You were with him.
Yeah, you know.
We're going to have to take you out too.
Oh, you got to die. Sorry. Like, Matt, what are you leaning on this story?
Oh, I mean, the government decoy definitely makes sense to me. One thing that's a little ridiculous to me is just how he's talking about, like, gravitational pull in a reactor half the size of a basketball. I mean, that I'm not all about, like, I'm not crazy knowledgeable, but... Mm-hmm. I mean,
you didn't read until a couple years ago, right?
Fourth grade. Come on. Started reading in fourth grade. So like 2 years ago. But, I don't know. There's some of the technology he was talking about, the 115. I don't really feel any of that. Besides, I feel like, in the end, I don't believe him. However, you never know.
You're right. Unfortunately, you do never know. And it's one of those stories. I'm going to say this. Like, I want to believe him. Like, I want to believe him. I want him to be like, oh, yep. And you know what? When full disclosure comes out, like, Dennis drives out and high fives him like, sorry, buddy.
Well, I mean, so he was selling, science materials in Michigan with his wife after all this happened. And this was back in 2014. And you're just going to stay in the country. You're not going to try to get citizenship anywhere else. You're not gonna try to flee.
That's actually a good
Edward
point.
Snowden.
Yeah, why wouldn't you Snowden that fucking shit?
Snowden
like,
that.
Like,
shit.
Try, like, if you literally knew that, don't you feel like if that was true, Russia would have came forward and been
some
like,
of his biggest supporters say that, Bob Lazar is the original Snowden.
Yeah, yep. Well, you know what? I bet if there was any truth to that, maybe they did, I bet there's a lot of countries that would have been knocking on his door saying, hey, come on over.
Like KGB style.
Yeah.
Come on over. Putin himself back in the 90s.
There you go. Back when he was a little poot. So, John, where you at?
My thoughts on this are fairly simple. I think there are certain people in this world that, I don't want to use the term psychopaths, but I'll use the term psychopath in the sense that they are able to communicate as if X is true and Y isn't. And they truly believe it at the moment.
Or they've told this lie so much that it becomes true to them.
Yeah, it's amazing if you. I've listened to hours of Bob Lazar, and very rarely does he stumble.
Yeah.
Though he does stumble when he's surprised, mm-hmm. not surprised by a question in the sense that he doesn't know the answer to it. Surprised when he doesn't know he's going to be asked a question. Like listening to the 97 interview on Coast to Coast, Art Bell. Brings on a guy from Australia to ask a question that he said, a surprise. Here's a surprise guest for a question with Bob Lazar. And you can just hear in Lazar's voice that it's not telling the facts, spewing back out, even answering the questions aren't the problem. His problem is that he didn't know that was coming.
So it sounds more scripted.
Or he's told the same answer over and over and over, and that's what he knows.
Okay. And it makes him nervous when things like that change.
Yeah, I could understand that.
I just think that he had, like, in my mind's eye, I imagine him preparing for like 4 years sitting in some apartment somewhere, just reciting shit to himself over and over again. This is who I am. This is what I did. This is who I am. This is what I did.
Like he's in the mirror. It's like in that old SNL sketch. You're good enough.
You're smart enough.
And doggone it, people like you.
And doggone it, you spend time with a UFO. And I think that's what happened. I listen, I believe that aliens exist. I believe that Area 51 is a very secret area that very well had interesting, if not extraterrestrial, things happen there. I'm not saying I believe that, but I'm not saying I don't believe that. I don't believe, however, that Bob Lazar was there experiencing that. I think he is full of shit, and I think all of his handlers are there to parasite off of him. That's up to and including John Lear, George Knapp, Gene Huff, and even to one extent or another, Stanton Friedman, because while Friedman is big on the UFO circuit, he has made his name on refuting Bob Lazar. Those are my thoughts.
There you have it, kids. Your new opinion. So let us know on Twitter, on Facebook, on Carrier Pigeon, however you want to get a hold of us, what you think.
On hysteria51.com.
Let us know if we're way off. Like, what part of the Bob Lazar mythos did we not touch on? What part did we completely get wrong? Like, we want to have a discussion because, it is an incredibly interesting topic.
Will we even have a show next week?
They might be at the door right now. You never know.
I mean, we could be just a bunch of drunken assholes.
That is not a possibility, and you need to shut up now. He will not be back.
That is not a conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy bot, turn that red eye on. Thank you, conspiracy bot.
Now you're fucked. No.
Where's my genitals?
Facebook.com/hysteria51. Jump on there. Give us a like. Comment. Let us know what's going on.
Tweet at us at Hysteria51Pod or visit us at our new and lovely website, Hysteria51.com.
And don't forget to jump on iTunes, hit subscribe, give us a review. At the very least, give us a rating. It really helps people discover the show. It helps us know what we're doing, what you want to hear, what we need to do better. Really like you tuning in, and we will see you next time on Hysteria 51.
Thanks for listening to Hysteria 51, a weekly oddcast of conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. We'll be back again next week with more known unknowns. If you'd like us to discuss a particular topic, suggest a guest, or simply seek some truth, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show at hysteria51podcast@yahoo.com and follow us on Twitter at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.